Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Political Cesspool radio program, coming to you live this Saturday evening, December 18th, from our flagship radio station, WLRM Studios, AM 1380 in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm your host, James Edwards. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Got a very big show tonight, as if the first hour wasn't big enough, featuring the commentary and analysis of our expert co-host, Mr. Keith Alexander. We have not one, but two incredible guests tonight. Kevin McDonald coming up in the third hour, but coming up right now, very good friend of mine. He is the editor of American Renaissance Magazine, the author of several books, including Paved with Good Intentions. He is the one, the only, Jared Taylor, calling us tonight from Virginia. Jared, how are you?
I'm very well, James. How are you?
Well, I'm doing very well myself. Listen, a lot of fans of yours in the chat room here tonight at CFCC.org. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you are not already logged on and participating in this virtual fan party, we encourage you to do just that. Log on to the Council of Conservative Citizens website, an organization that we're partnering with for this online chat, CFCC.org. We're going to be taking questions for Jared tonight. And Jared, I tell you, you're pretty popular.
Oh, my gosh.
People even love your aristocratic accent, as they're saying right now, if I could read that. But I know a lot of people are looking forward to hearing what you have to say tonight. And what you're bringing to the table tonight is very big, very exciting news. And I'll let you take it from there.
Well, I just wanted all of your listeners to know that the next American Renaissance Conference is scheduled for the first week in February in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I hope we can talk about that a little bit. And if any of your fans have questions about the conference, what's going to be on the program, what they can expect, I'd be happy to answer them. But the one thing I do want to make clear is that we are raring to go. We've got about the best lineup of speakers AR has ever put together, and I hope to see all of your listeners, not just a few, all of your listeners in Charlotte, North Carolina over the first weekend in February.
Well, I tell you, if you get all the listeners, Jared, you're going to have to rent out the arena there where the Charlotte Bobcats play, I think. But I tell you this, we could probably help you pack the house, and that's exactly what I want to see have happen. So we've moved the venue to Charlotte, another great southern city.
Yes.
And you mentioned in passing the array of speakers. I'd like to ask you to elaborate a little bit on that. We know that everyone's favorite closer, Sam Dixon, is going to be there, but he's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yes. As I like to say, Sam Dixon can give a better extemporaneous speech with maybe 5 minutes of preparation than most folks can put together when they got months to work on it. Sam is really a great thinker, a great speaker, one of my favorite people. Yes, he is always our closer. He gives what he calls the secular benediction. But one of our, I think in some respect, well, we got so many exciting speakers, I don't know where to start, but mystery guest number one is one that has piqued a lot of people's imaginations. This is a political figure from Europe, and I won't say he or she because you never know. But in Europe, they have got so many first-rate nationalist political parties that you could practically just throw a dart onto the map of Europe and find a country that's got a competent, really professional, well-put-together party that really wants Europe to stay European.
Yeah, and this is just one example of how, in many ways, Europe is behind us in terms of freedom of speech laws and things of that nature, but they're certainly ahead of us in having political parties that are threatening the power structure there. We haven't been able to do anything of the sort here in America.
Yes, you're absolutely right. In terms of freedom of speech, we are way ahead. We don't have laws that can put you in jail for expressing your point of view, but we don't have anything like the political voice that some countries in Europe have. And the person that we're bringing over is really the perfect kind of model for the sort of politics and the sort of politician that we're eventually going to have in this country, and the sooner the better.
Well, we know that Jared Taylor himself, the man on the line with us right now, will be speaking at this 2011 American Renaissance Conference. Sam Dixon will be speaking. We have a couple of mystery guests. I want to remind everyone, if you want more information, don't just go and get more information tonight. You can actually register for the event itself tonight online right now simultaneously while listening to Jared Taylor by going to amren.com. That's the official website for American Renaissance, amren.com. If you click on the little tab there at the top center of the website, it will link you over to a page that has more information, and you can register online tonight. Now, we're going to be taking questions from the chat room for Jared after the commercial break. I want to briefly hit on two more speakers that stood out to me. They all stand out, I guess, but David Yeagley. He's interesting, Jared, for a lot of reasons. He's been on this radio program a couple of times, a very good guest. But what makes him stand out among the other names in the crowd there?
He is a Comanche Indian. He is the great-great-grandson of Bad Eagle, who was apparently quite a badass Comanche leader back in the day. But he's one of these people who realizes the crisis America faces, the crisis that white people face, and he's one of those folks who says, look, white folks, you better wake up. You have a country here. You have a pretty good country here. And unless you wake up and do something about it, you're going to lose it. He will be quite a fascinating speaker. In a way, you've probably heard him speak more often than I have, because he's been on your show, but I've never actually heard him speak, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, I'll tell you, you're really in for a treat, and he completely and utterly debunks and defangs all of that rhetoric we always hear about deplacing the Native Americans, so-called Native Americans, and this, that, and the other, all of the liberal rhetoric that we're onslaughted with. David Yeagley is going to give you a good performance, and he alone would be worth the price of attendance. And one other speaker that stands out, now this is a guy who just gets rave reviews everywhere he goes. He speaks in such a way, Jared, that it's almost theatrical. His presentation is almost theatrical, and he moves people. He is a wordsmith, to say the least, and he delivers it in such a way that will leave you absolutely spellbound. It's Jonathan Bowden. Now, that's a man, that's a name that some of our listeners might not know, but you certainly know about him.
Yes. Jonathan is perhaps the most talented orator, and I use that word deliberately. He is a real orator. Some of us think we can give a reasonably good speech, but man, he is an orator. And the one time I had a privilege of hearing him, I was just swept away. This guy is, well, some people have called him a force of nature. As you say, he's not well known in the United States, but he has a tremendous following in his native Britain. As you say, he can put together thoughts and speak in a way that's almost hypnotizing. I think I have never heard someone speak as impressively as Jonathan.
Well, we got to take a break, Jared, but I'm so glad you're on tonight to promote this event. It's still a little less than 2 months away, so still plenty of time for people to make their plans to join us there. It is going to be an all-star lineup. We mentioned Sam Dixon, Jared Taylor, Jonathan Bowden, David Yeagley, a political cesspool guest, and a couple of mystery guests, among others. Check amren.com during the commercial break for more information. We'll be right back with Jared. We're going to be taking questions from the audience right after this.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. You got my good friend Jared Taylor on the line right now. Jared Taylor has been making appearances on our award-winning radio broadcast since its very inception back in 2004. In fact, we talk about that and more on a video that we shot back, well, I don't know, maybe October it was, a couple of months ago. It's up on our website. We reposted it front and center at thepoliticalcesspool.org. I encourage you to check it out. And remember, what we're promoting tonight, what we're encouraging everyone to attend, is the 9th American Renaissance Conference. It's taking place in Charlotte, North Carolina, February 4th through the 6th, 2011. So this coming February, 4th through 6th in Charlotte, American Renaissance Conference 2011, you will hear from Sam Dixon, Jared Taylor, David Yeagley, another former Political Cesspool guest, Jonathan Bowden, a couple of mystery guests, and more. And, you know, Jared, I think you would agree that in addition to all of the wonderful information and exchange of ideas that will take place, truly, I think the star of this show is the fellowship itself that people experience when they come to a meeting of this nature.
You're absolutely right about that. We try to put on as good a program as we can, but we always make sure to leave a lot of time open for people just to schmooze. I will never forget, it must have been, I think it was the 2006 AR conference. A fellow walked in the door, and he spotted me in the crowd. He walked up, and he said, "Jared, it's great to be among the living." That is the feeling we all so enjoy and so rarely get. There's nothing like being in the room full of hundreds of people who all understand. So you're absolutely right about that. We're just the occasion. It is the conferees that make the conference.
Well, that's absolutely right. And as you mentioned, Jared, we get so few opportunities each year to come together. American Renaissance does a conference every other year. The Council of Conservative Citizens has an annual conference. But other than that, there are very few open meetings that our people can come to and attend and share the camaraderie that manifests itself during meetings of this kind. So that reason and that reason alone would be enough to encourage and incite people to come. And folks, remember, in addition to getting more information, you can actually register online tonight at amren.com. Amren.com. Now, Jared, you know, I had a private telephone conversation with you earlier this week, and we talked about this online fan party that's happening right now at cscc.org, and we promised that we would take some questions from the audience. So I have my co-host, Winston Smith, who's actually here in the studio with me right now, but also in the chat room itself, collecting questions, and they seem to be pouring in. I caught a couple myself during the commercial break, and so I'd like to get this started tonight by asking a question from the crowd that reads, in your opinion, Jared, what would constitute real racial progress for whites over the course of the next 5 to 10 years?
Oh, I think what would constitute real progress is that some actually prominent people in the United States, they could be politicians, they could be talking heads, some of them actually start talking in terms of the interests of whites as a group. You take the Tea Party, for example. As you, James Edwards, have pointed out, they're always accused of actually having the interests of whites at heart, but they keep saying that they don't. And perhaps they don't. But it's about time that whites came out and said, yes, I prefer the company of whites, I like the culture of Europe, and I don't want my country to become a third world country. This is the message that people have to be able to say and be proud to say it, and have no qualms about it. That's what I would consider real progress, because from that point on, anything becomes possible.
Well, that's the answer that Bill Teller in the chat room was seeking. Jared, like I said, they are pouring in. About to turn it over to Winston Smith, because I know he's been collecting these questions for you. Another question that I've seen asked a couple of times is that people seem to really like the short video that you and I did together. That we've posted to our website. Of course, you're familiar with that video. People are asking if and when you might be producing videos yourself for the American Renaissance website.
You know, we've been thinking about that for some time. And if the demand continues to rise, it looks as though we'll have no choice. I suspect we're going to have a new hire coming on later on next year. And when that happens, we will have the resources, and we plan to do a whole lot of things that we hope will surprise and inspire people, and that is very likely to be one of them.
All right. Well, there's another answer for you, ladies and gentlemen. Jared Taylor keeping him succinct, and we appreciate that because there are a lot of questions to get to. So, Winston, what have you been noticing in the chat room?
I've been noticing that it is on fire, James. And Jared, a lot of people have a lot of questions for you. You're a popular guy. Who would have thunk it?
Yeah, who would have thought?
I would have.
I would have too. I mean, how can you not? How can Jared Taylor not be a popular guy? I mean, he's what can you say?
Oh, yeah, you're making me feel bashful here.
you have every reason to be as proud as can be. James, you took the question that I really wanted to put out to Jared, but here's one. One person in the chat room says, liberals like to say that white movements are illegitimate because whites have been aggressors, not victims. And you must know how Jared would respond. I'd like to say that this reminds me of what William Raspberry said, that it's always illegitimate for white men to organize as such. So, Jared, what do you say to the notion that white movements are illegitimate because whites have always been the aggressors?
You know, that is one of the profound and ultimately fatal double standards that is popular today. If whites are unable to organize as whites, they have just one future, and that's oblivion. No group can continue unless its members are able to organize in the name of that group. And somehow the idea that whites have been especially aggressors in world history, whites actually had more technological power. And if they colonized the world, if they discovered the world, if they did so many things, it was because of that technological power. However, imagine what the world would have been like if instead of whites at the turn of the 19th and 20th centuries having the power they had, it was the Chinese. Imagine what they would have done with that power. Imagine what Africans would have done with that power. Whites had the military and technological power completely to dominate and exploit the world. They didn't do it. And I would bet you the world would be a very, very different place if any other group on the planet had had the power that whites had. We have used that power very responsibly compared to what others would do if it had been in their hands. So the idea that we are somehow the world's great villains, I reject that. That's total nonsense.
Well, Jared, you know, you make some points there in your answer, and these are points getting back to David Yeagley, one of the featured speakers at the 2011 AMRIN conference. He makes, you know, one of the things that I thought was quite profound in one of his appearances with us was the fact that how benevolent the whites were to the Indians, or to the American Indians, if you will. He pointed out how we named our cities and our rivers and our counties and our states after, you know, those that we conquered. And this is not too far off the beaten path of what you were speaking on, but it was a great point that I wanted to infuse into the program nonetheless. We have less than a minute until our next commercial break. Jared, I know you were only scheduled to stay with us for a half an hour, but would you be willing to stay with us for a little longer? Because I tell you, you got a lot of people wanting to talk to you, a lot of people wanting to hear from you.
No, it'd be my pleasure, and I'd like to talk about some other speakers who are going to be at the AR conference.
Well, we'll get to those and more questions from those in the CFCC Political Cesspool chat room at cfcc.org, taking your questions live from the chat simultaneously as we broadcast for Jared Taylor, our featured guest this hour. It's a lot of fun, and it's unprecedented. This is the third time we've done the chat, first time we've taken questions from the audience for the guests. So, Jared, you're making history tonight of the Political Cesspool, and we'll be back with more right after this. Remember to check out our official website as well, the PoliticalCesspool.org. James Edwards Winston Smith here with you. We'll be back with Jared right after these words.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the Political Cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta get out of
this place. All right, it looks as though Jared Taylor himself has just joined the chat room. Jared, is that you? Jared, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Are you in the chat room?
Snooping around in it, yes, I am.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, this is... Jared, have you ever had this much fun in a radio interview? Let me ask you that.
Never. I was just thinking the same thing myself.
Well, listen, we're in the boat with you, Jared, because we've never had a show, and we've done over 1,000 broadcasts of this show, if you can believe it, dating back to 2004, and never before have we taken questions from the audience as we're doing now. Got a couple of comments. I know you've just joined the chat room, and so perhaps you didn't see these, although I bet you're about to get flooded. One of the participants called you the modern day Galileo. Another one thanked you for devoting not years. I guess he dates you in this one, Jared. Thank you for devoting not just years but decades to our people and to our cause. So a lot of well-wishers and supporters and fans of Jared Taylor in the chat room. And now Jared Taylor himself has joined the chat room, so he can see some of these questions as they are coming to us. Jared, you mentioned right before the last commercial break, and thank you, by the way, for staying with us for some extended play here. Got a list of questions for you, but first I want to go back to the original and intent of this interview. When we first started it, that is to promote an incredible event that is forthcoming that we want everyone to be at. That is the 2011 AMRIN Conference taking place in Charlotte, North Carolina, February 4th through the 6th. We highlighted a couple of the speakers, a handful of them, a couple of segments ago. You wanted to speak about a couple of more.
Yes, I did. I certainly wanted to mention Dan Root. He will be coming right all the way from South Africa. He is one of the most prominent advocates of the Afrikaner cultural movement in South Africa. And as all of your listeners know, the white people in South Africa, they have got an accelerated crisis on their hands. They are facing something rather worse than what we are. But in some respects, I'm afraid that we can see something that could be the future of the United States in the southern part of the African continent. He always gives a great talk, and he manages to lead a kind of charmed existence. On the one hand, he's a forceful advocate for his people, and yet he has access to the airwaves, the media, as an exponent and as a representative of Afrikaners. He's a wonderful guy, and I'm really looking forward to his talk, too.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, as we've mentioned a handful of times now, if we mentioned it every minute, we could not mention it enough, and that is go to amren.com, AMREN.com, AMREN.com. There you will find more information about the 2011 American Renaissance Conference in Charlotte, February 4th through the 6th. But not only that, you can also register online tonight. You can go ahead and book up your hotel room. You can go ahead and pay for your conference registration. It's a very, very nominal fee for all you'll be getting in return. That I assure you, having been at one of these myself in 2008. It's the best money you can spend. AMREN.com. Check it out. Now, I know Winston Smith, my co-host, is still collecting questions from a very rabid chat room right now, as you can see, Jared, but I've got a couple of them here that I was able to jot down, and I promised one of the participants that I would ask his question next, and that is, what is your opinion of the Gutierrez debate at UT Arlington in 2006?
Oh, gosh. In a way, it was almost too easy. the subject of the debate is increasing Hispanicization good for America? And I presented one reason after another. I never run out of reasons why it's a bad thing. And this guy never came up with a single one as to why it was good. About halfway through the debate, I started saying it. Well, Professor Gutierrez, come on, give me some, throw out something. Say at least make a stab at telling me why it's good for America. He never came up with a single idea. Most unfair. But the trouble is the other side never ever has to answer for their own cliches. They will simply say, diversity is our greatest strength. And you ask them, well, give me an example. What has it done for the country? Why is it a strength? I mean, they really have no answer because they're never held to account for these things. It was almost an unfair debate.
You know, I've noticed that myself in passing, and it's interesting for you to put it in such words because, you know, Richard Spencer, one of our friends, gave a lecture at Vanderbilt University recently, and, you know, the questions that I saw him field were just so juvenile in nature. They really have nothing but their own platitudes to fall back on. It's really elementary. And so You know, but still, even with that being established, these people and people who espouse such ideas are presented to us as the authoritative source on everything. And it's really, I guess, really quite comical. Jared, we're here in the chat room, of course. One of the participants, Gander, wants to thank you for signing his book. I'm sure you remember signing that particular book. But I got another question for you here. Will America, this is an interesting question. Will, and after this, I'm going to turn it back over to Winston. Will America, Jared, be balkanized in the end, or will whites not even be allowed to have their own reservations and casinos like the Indians?
Hey, we need to have at least casinos, for heaven's sake. Got to have fun. Well, one thing that Mark Twain used to say is... It's very tricky to make predictions, especially when you're talking about the future. And so, I'm inclined not to make predictions of that kind. I will simply say that I'm optimistic. I think that more and more white people all around the country are waking up to what's happening. And just what it is that they will do with their awakened consciousness of what their choices are, it's impossible to predict. But I see signs of it everywhere. People are beginning to stir, and then what happens can only be to our benefit. All it takes is for white people to wake up, and then things will fall into place, and I see signs that they are doing that. Again, just what exactly the form of the wake-up will take, I can't say, but I'm optimistic.
All right, Winston, that answer being now put into the files, do you have any more questions for Jerry that you've collected?
I do. I have two questions and one comment. Jared, one person in the chat room said, watching a Jared Taylor debate is more exciting than watching a heavyweight boxing match. I agree. I certainly do. You are the man when it comes to a debate.
Well, as I say, I have an advantage because I happen to be right. It's
yes,
so much
indeed.
Easier to win a debate when the facts, when history, when human nature and morality are all on your side.
All right, here's the first question. What can ordinary Americans do to help efforts like Arizona's new law? That's the closest thing to openly pro-white political action. The Southwest is ground zero. So I guess the person's question is, what can we do to accentuate and to help efforts like Arizona's new law?
Well, one of the obvious things is to go out and demonstrate in favor of it, as many, many white people and even some others did. There are even some Hispanics in the country who realized that they left Mexico because they thought the United States was better. They don't want the United States to turn into Mexico either. But go out and demonstrate, and of course the obvious thing is to vote for the people who gave us that law. When the American people actually have a chance in the ballot box to make a decision in their benefit, chances are they will do it. And so Jan Brewer, the governor of New Mexico, she was on pretty shaky territory until she came out in favor of this law that was going to protect her state and protect her people. As soon as she did, her popularity shot through the roof, and she sailed back into office in the latest election. But clearly, the thing to do is to make absolutely as much noise as possible, and as Gordon Baum of the CFCC always likes to say, politicians are for sale. They're for sale for the people who will keep them in office. And if we make it clear that if they don't behave, we'll turf them out, that can make a great deal of difference, too.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Winston, I know you've got questions. I just want to, I guess, put out this disclaimer. We can't keep Jared all night. And even if we could, I don't think we would get to all of the questions, but we're going to try to get to as many as possible. We've got Kevin McDonald coming up. Dr. McDonald coming up at the top of the third hour, but we have one more fleeting segment with Jared, if he will entertain us for one more segment. We've got one more segment with Jared, and we're going to get to a couple of more questions. We're going to talk about the future of American Renaissance and get one more plug in for the 2011 conference itself. All of that coming your way right after these words from our sponsors. You're listening to the Political Cesspool Radio program on the Liberty News Radio Network. Jared Taylor of American Renaissance is our guest, and he will be back for one more segment right after this.
Every night, every day, Lord. Yeah. Got to believe.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool Guys will be back right after these messages.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. There's a better life.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, we've got to one final segment with Jared Taylor, and we want to take advantage of every second. Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, Kevin McDonald is in the green room, so to speak, and he will be with us in the first segment of the next hour. So it's just one hit after the other tonight here on the Political Cesspool. James Edwards and Winston Smith hosting for you this hour. Jared, as you know, a lot of people in the chat room, a lot of fans of yours, and they're asking a lot of great questions. And this is one that really caught my attention, and I wanted to bring it to yours. One of the participants asks, is race just a social construct that whites invented?
You know, it amazes me that people, that anyone can actually think that that would be the case. And my reaction to that sentiment, somehow that race is a sociological optical illusion, it's something that is so obviously wrong and so obviously stupid that only very, very intelligent people could persuade themselves that it's true. You never find anybody but weird, liberal, overeducated white people walking around blathering that kind of thing. I have never met or heard of a black person who said that race is some kind of phony thing. They all know it's true. They were born knowing it's true. They'll die knowing it's true. No, it's something that is obviously cuckoo, and it's really just an idea to persuade us that if white people are phased out and somebody else phased in, it doesn't matter because we're all the same.
Jared, that is an excellent answer, and you make an astute point, and that is every so-called minority group, of course, if you really want to get down to brass tacks, people of European extraction are certainly a global minority, so I'm hesitant to use the word minority, but every minority group as we would know them here in America certainly believe that there's such a thing as race, and it exists, and it really guides them in much that they do. Only guilty white liberals believe that race is a social construct. Very great point. Winston, any questions for Jared on your end before we come full circle and talk once more about the AMRIN conference?
Actually, James, you took the same question that I was going to pose to Jared.
I would
like to add to it only that medical science certainly acknowledges that race is not a social construct. Ethnomedicine is trying to get off the ground, but people are afraid of the implications.
You're absolutely right about that. There are
some medications work better on blacks than do on whites. Some medications work better on whites than they do on Asians. And yet, doctors are fearful of bringing these things to light.
That's right. That's right. It's one of those cases in which ideology, and I would even call it bigotry, because bigotry means having a firmly closed mind. But ideology and bigotry are triumphing over science, so that medical people are unable to give the kinds of treatment that would really work for people of different races. No, biology tells us it's the case. Our very eyes tell us it's the case. Medicine tells us it's true. And as I say, you know, black people in America, for example, they eat, live, drink, and breathe race. They know that it's mm-hmm. real. It's only white people who have this cuckoo notion.
Well, Jared, let me ask you this. This is another question that's been posed to you from the chat room here, the virtual fan party being hosted by our cohorts in the Council of Conservative Citizens. Folks, if you haven't yet joined us, we encourage you to do so. Still got an hour left in the show after this segment. Kevin McDonald will be our guest, cofcc.org. Jared Taylor, editor of American Renaissance, is on deck with us right now. And the next question is about American Renaissance itself. Jared, in your opinion, in your vision, what is the future of AMRIN?
As I said earlier in the program, we are fixing to raise the funding to hire another full-time employee. And then I don't want to let too many cats out of the bag, but we're going to start doing things we haven't done before. The idea is to branch out into new media. Somebody suggested that video would be a good idea. I think that's a first-rate idea. We have some ideas to make more noise in more different ways, and we're really excited about it and looking forward to the new year.
And, of course, that new year is going to be marked quite profoundly with this conference itself, which, again, bringing us back full circle.
Yes, you know, I wanted to mention just a couple of other guests. One of our really dynamic speakers is Donald Thomas. He's a guy who knows just about everything there is to know about the refugee and asylum-seeking programs in the United States. We think of this as some kind of humanitarian gesture, and a few well-deserving people manage to get to the United States and stay here because of terrible fears of persecution back home. In fact, like so many things run by the government, the deeper you look, the worse the rot appears. And Donald Thomas will raise your hair with his stories about the way people come to this country under false pretenses, manage to come here simply because people are looking for cheap labor. It is a complete travesty and a sham, and this guy really knows those programs inside and out.
That's just another one of the illustrious speakers. We've gone through a litany of them already. Jared Taylor will be there speaking. Sam Dixon, David Yeagley, Jonathan Bowden, the gentleman that Jared just mentioned, Dan Root, and more. A couple of mystery guests. It's all there for you at the 2011 American Renaissance Conference, February 4th through the 6th in Charlotte, North Carolina. So, Jared, in addition to the fellowship and the camaraderie and the great speakers and all of that, they get a change of venue. No longer in Washington, Northern Virginia. It's going to be in Charlotte.
That's right. That's right. A new place for a new year. And we're really looking forward to it.
And as we've been saying all night long, folks, you can get more information and register tonight. You don't have to mail anything in. You can register online. You can have your ticket stamped to the 2011 American Renaissance Conference before the end of this hour if you go to amren.com and act immediately. Now, Jared, listen, I know we only had you for 30 minutes. You ended up staying for the better part of an hour. I want to thank you for that. We had a lot of fun with you tonight.
James, it's always a great pleasure. And as you pointed out, you knew better than I. Most fun I've ever had on the radio. Thanks so much.
Well, hey, listen, it's up there for us as well, as it always is when you're our guest. Jared Taylor, everybody, amren.com. Jared, we will certainly be talking with you again before the conference, but we want to thank you for coming on tonight and wish you a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much. A Merry Christmas to you, too, and to all your listeners.
Jared Taylor, everybody, big round of applause. He's a great man, a hero for our people. He's been doing it, walking the walk for a long, long time. Check him out at amren.com. Winston, you can't say enough about Jared Taylor.
No, you can't. That was a great interview, and I would like to express my appreciation to Jared for fielding the questions as he did. Always a pleasure, and we gained a lot from him. So thank you very much, Jared.
And staying on as he did for the full hour rather than just the 30 minutes that we had, that he had allotted to us or us to him. He was on for an hour. And I tell you, Winston, as I say, one hit after the other, Kevin McDonald on deck. He'll be our guest in about, roughly in real time, 10 minutes.
I can't wait.
Well, apparently our listening audience and those assembled in our virtual fan party at cfcc.org can't wait either. A lot of Jared Taylor fans in there, a lot of Kevin McDonald fans in there, and of course they overlap one another. But nevertheless, Kevin McDonald up next. Listen, it's been one heck of a show tonight. I do want to make mention of one thing here, a little programming note. Despite the fact that this is only December the 18th. This will be our last, believe it or not, our last live show of the year. The way Saturdays fall on the calendar, of course, the Political Cesspool can be heard each Saturday night here live on AM 1380 here in Memphis, WLRM Radio, and on the Liberty News Radio Network, their affiliates, and, of course, the online simulcast. We're live every Saturday night, but because of the way Saturday falls this year, next week, Saturday falls on Christmas Day, so there will be no live programming either from us or the network itself. Everything's taped next week. We'll be playing a best-of show, so if you want to tune in to our show next week, we will be on the air. It will just be a tape. And then the next Saturday after that is January 1st. So that's it. This show, Kevin McDonald up in the third and final hour tonight, right around the corner. This is our last show of the year, Winston. Next week's Christmas, we play a tape, and the Saturday after that is January 1st. It's a little odd, but that's the way it is.
Yes, James, last show of the year, and what a year it has been. What a show it's been. This has been probably the most exciting year I can, in my experience with the Political Cesspool, in my tenure as a Political Cesspool co-host. It's been an excellent year. It's been one that has clearly drawn the lines. If anybody has any questions at all about where the lines are these days, you must have been living in a cave to explain it, I'll say this. Tune into our next live show and listen to the top 10 list of most hateful quotes, for 2010, and you will see what those lines are. They have moved dramatically, and not in a good way. So in addition to that, I just want to say thank you to all of our listeners. Thank you to our audience for all the support, the financial support, and especially the encouragement you've given us. You are the best audience in the world. You're the best friends in the world. And this show would not exist without you. And I know that sounds cliched, but that's simply the way it is. So, James, I want to wish Merry Christmas to our audience.
Winston, Merry Christmas to our audience and to you as well. We got to take a break, though. Kevin McDonald on deck. He'll be with us right after this.